The downtown temperature outside the studios, 4 degrees.
A good wet morning to you. This is Wayne McLean. Welcome to the talk show. There was a very interesting story that crossed my desk the other day. You probably heard about it on CFPL Radio News as well. Oh, back Friday, I'm sure. This has to deal with the federal government of Canada. They've set up a special committee, and they want to find out, primarily from men, why some men are interested in pornography. Oh, whether it's video cassettes, that seems to be the thing they're concerned about the most. I'm sure they're also thinking about some of the books, the various magazines that you see from time to time. And the committee that's being set up feels that men are the primary majority consumers of pornographic materials, whether they be, as we say, hardcore or softcore. Here's the quote. The consumers of pornography appear to be predominantly male, says the 7-member committee. Oh, by the way, they're going to look into prostitution as well. But this morning I'd like to talk about pornography. Now, if you think about this, you come up with a lot of different questions or considerations. And it seems to me that men are not the only consumers of pornography. Okay? It also seems to me that there are a number of women, possibly, who like pornography as well. How old are they? What types of lifestyles do they lead? I don't know. Maybe you can tell me that. But if you agree with this idea that men aren't the only ones who like pornography, that there are probably more women out there who do than we know, if you agree with that, I'd like to hear from you at 433-3121. If, on the other hand, you don't agree with that, I'd really like to hear from you at 433-3121. If you're out of town, we invite you to call collect. What say you? Are men basically the only ones that are consumers of pornography? Or are there an awful lot of women out there who buy it or have someone get it for them and watch it or consume it or use it in any way? How do you feel this morning? 433-3121 is the number. If you're out of town, we invite you to call collect. This whole question of pornography, back in the news again, as the federal government sets up a committee to find out why some people are interested in it.
This is the Wayne McLean Talk Show. To join the conversation, call 433-3121. Out of town, call collect. 433-3121. Call now.
Good morning, Wayne. Well, from my own personal experience, I work in a local convenience variety store, and I have yet to see a woman even stand by the stand of magazines to look at the pornography. It's always men.
And this is what, in 10 times out of 10, Brenda, you say?
Well, I've been there, a little over, about 2 months now.
Okay.
And I have never seen a woman go over. It's always men, and it is always the same ones.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How many would you say, generally? Would you have a group of 30 of them, 10 of them, 20?
Not 30. I wouldn't say 30.
Okay.
Maybe 10?
All right.
I guess 10, 15, something like that. I really haven't kept count.
Okay, no, but this is interesting, though. You see, one of the things they want to find out, this federal committee, they want to find out, and see, they're assuming that it's predominantly men.
I believe it is.
And you agree with them?
From my own experience, like that's only one store out of millions, eh?
We're going to hear from others this morning, I'm sure.
And also, I'll tell you, quite frankly, I am embarrassed when they come up to the counter with you, because some of them are disgusting. They're just there's nothing artistic about it. It's just pure and simple titillating, you know, crap.
Okay. I'll put you down as undecided.
Are you kidding?
Okay, it's all right. Okay, so there's...
I'm not a prude, because I can appreciate a lovely painting by the old masters. Like, Botticelli's one of my favorite, and he's...
Yes, yeah, very... Okay, well, what is it, then, about Hustler or Playboy or whatever that really bothers you? You say that you're embarrassed.
I'm embarrassed, and I realize that the women that pose for these things are not being exploited. They're doing it out of their own free will, or for the bucks, whatever.
Not... Well, okay, I know what you mean.
But it's the person, it's the other women, the ordinary, everyday woman that doesn't have a gorgeous shape like that. But it wouldn't be so bad if they just took a nice shot, eh? But they make them look disgustingly vulgar or suggestive and simply to, I don't know, get somebody going, I guess.
All right, is it possible that some of the people in there that go in and buy these magazines are buying them for their wives, that their wives have asked them?
I don't think so, because a lot of them I find are younger fellas, and maybe they're probably not even married.
Yeah.
I don't see rings on all the fingers. No, I don't. Not only that, it's not the Playgirl they're buying. It's the Playboy and Hustler and Wee and all those other... Well, I don't care much for them myself.
Thank you very much for your call. I appreciate your comments, Brenda in Seaforth, and hope you'll call us again.
I do all the time, Wayne.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 433-3121. If you're out of town, we invite you to call us collect. We're talking about pornography this morning because the government of Canada is setting up a committee, and this committee wants to talk to men because they feel, the committee, that the consumers are predominantly male. And I'm sort of suggesting today that is that really true? Is it not a fact, possibly, that a lot of women are interested in it, buy it, or have somebody buy it for them? If you say, yes, that is so, I'd like to hear from you. If you say, as our last caller did, no, that's not true. Because I work, she said, in a variety store, and I see those guys around the magazine shops, and or at least the magazine counter. And there's no women going in there. 433-3121. It's 1014. You're on 980 CFPL. My name is Wayne McLean. Go ahead, please. You're next.
Good morning.
Hello.
I'm totally against it myself.
Okay.
Because I don't think it's fair, for one thing, to just ask the men. If they're just going to ask men, that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
Women can't give their... a viewpoint on it either. You know, like if you're against it, for instance, and all the men are for it, well, they're just going to interview men. How are the women going to, you know, get their point across?
I see. Now, one of the things they are saying here, too, is that there needs to be more information about the consumers, the people who buy porn, whether it's a video cassette or a magazine. Who are they? What are their backgrounds? And why are they consumers of pornography? And I guess even more importantly, what effect does it have on them? Do you have any thoughts on any of those questions at all, caller?
Well, I know of a couple of young women who read Playgirl.
Mm-hmm.
And I, on one occasion, saw one of the magazines that this woman read, and it turned my stomach. You know, I don't know what they see in it. I really don't. Unless it somehow they get off on it or whatever.
Okay, now that was Playgirl, right?
Yeah.
And in that, that's with the men, the full frontal nudity of men and backsides as well.
Well, it was even worse than that. You know, what I saw when I glanced through it, because I was kind of curious, this person I know quite well, and I was kind of curious to know what she saw in it.
Right. What did she say?
Oh, she said she thought it was great. You know?
All right. Whenever it turns you on, I guess. But did you find, like, what was it that was great? Was it a fantasy for her? What was it, because she was disappointed in her husband, or what?
Well, she didn't seem to give that impression. She seemed, you know, they were quite happily married, as far as appearances go. You know, like, she never gave any indication that there was anything wrong with her marriage. And if there's anything wrong with their life that way, they certainly didn't give any indication of it either, but I understand that her husband also reads Playboy, so, I mean, you know, they're just into it together, I guess.
Thank you very much for your call.
But one more thing I did want to say.
Can you be very brief, please?
I object to, if this does go through, why can't they just let those who are for it support it? Why does every taxpayer have to put their money against something they don't believe in?
How does every taxpayer do that, in your opinion, caller?
Well, through their house taxes or whatever, you know.
How do you support pornography through house taxes, though?
Well, if they license it, your income tax or whatever, part of a portion of that government is going to license it, so they say. So a portion of your taxes would go towards their licensing of this brothels or whatever they're calling.
Okay, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Good point. Probably save it for later, because that's another aspect of the show today, and we didn't want to touch on it now. What we want to talk about now, for this portion at least, is exactly what you were suggesting about the people that read and the people that watch the cassettes. Thank you very much. Glad to have you with us.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. 433-3121 is the number. We're talking about pornography and this whole government committee. Who is it that consumes it? Men only? Mostly men? Or is it about 50-50? Maybe it's 60-40. 433-3121 is the number. If you're out of town, we invite you to call us collect. The committee that's being set up by the federal government is saying, look, we've got to find out more about this. We've got to find out what effect it has on people. We've got to find out who they are, what their backgrounds are, why they're consumers of the product, and all the rest of it. If you have a thought on that, we'd like to hear from you. There are lines available. When we come back, we'll talk more about this idea of if it's to be stopped, and there are some people who believe it should be stopped. You know it as well as I do. If it is to be stopped, then how do you do it? Can you stop it? 433-3121 is our number. PL.
Good morning. I was wondering if the members of this committee, this investigating committee, are half men and half women?
It's a good question. We tried to get a hold of the committee. I asked Jeff to do that on Friday, and it was difficult. We also, I will say, are trying to get a hold of Justice Minister Mark McGuigan. Now, we've been in touch with his office since last week, and so far, we're still up in the air on that.
You can't even speak to his lady secretary, is that it? When you see these magazines, I'm very embarrassed by them, actually. If I go in to buy a Reader's Digest, I don't want to be staring at women in grotesque poses, all chained up or something. You never notice that there are men in these poses, and they aren't chained up. And I mean, all things being equal, you can't get a very good answer for this committee unless they have women interviewers who are interviewing men, and men interviewers who are also interviewing not only women but men. There has to be an even mixture here, or you're not going to get the correct answer.
See, here's what's the killer about this thing, because you're really touching on a good point, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank you for that.
Right.
They are not, as far as I can tell at least, you know, and I could be wrong, they're not releasing names. They're saying, here's the quote, the consumers of pornography appear to be predominantly male, end quote, the seven-member committee says. Well, who the hell is a seven-member committee? Who are these people?
There ought to be eight members.
Four men and four women?
Yes.
All right.
Either that or six.
Three men and three women.
Uh-huh. Now, one could swing the vote.
Yeah, but maybe, you know, want to be fair, too. I mean, maybe there are some women on the committee. But I would think you're right.
Uh-huh.
I would think you're right.
Oh, good. I started out Monday being right.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. 433-3121 is the number. If you're out of town, we invite you to call us collect. It's the... SPL. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Are you talking to me now?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Wayne. How are you? Is it legal to read a letter that you get in the mail on the air, or do you have to leave part of it out or something like that? Because I just got a letter this morning. It really deals with your subject.
Oh, well, go ahead. Don't tell us who it's from, then, if you feel there's a problem.
No.
Let's watch our talk.
What?
But go ahead.
What'd I say?
Listen, go ahead with the letter, please.
Oh, okay. Now, I say they've goofed me up a couple of times in the mail, so I shouldn't really be in defense of them, but I got here is my name and what have you. It says, according to our records, we have seen you've renewed your subscription for the 30th year in a row. Of course, this is the 30th anniversary of our magazine, and we're glad and proud to have people that have been so loyal and true as to you.
And it's a girly magazine.
If you have any of the vintage issues, which I know you have, I would be very interested in negotiating a deal on them. There is only 6 of our first issues in circulation still.
I see.
Al Wemore, Playboy Industry, Chicago.
Now, what is the point to this, Jerry?
Point is, I've been reading Playboy magazine for 30 years. I have never seen one blackout, you know, like a little circle put over the areas. I've never seen any chains. I've never seen any whips. My wife has 3 very close friends who are journalists, and one of them works with you guys. And even at the university, they refer to the interviews and the articles in Playboy as being the top, the best journalist articles you can get today.
Okay, this is a point that I think listeners might be interested in now. And you hear this all the time, and you've said it. When people buy Playboy, why are they buying the magazine? Are they buying it for the interviews? Are they buying it for the pictures? Or are they buying it for both and for some consumer tips as well?
Okay, I'll be very honest. I have a friend that I purchased a Playboy subscription for 1 year, and he kept saying repetitively, oh, it doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't do anything for me. As soon as he sees it laying on the table, he grabs it and rips it open to the middle. I think he's going to tear it in half, but it doesn't do anything for him.
Mm-hmm.
I can honestly say, in 30 years, the Playboy issues have been coming to my home or my battleship in the Navy or wherever it was. I have looked and read every page of the book. I read the articles, I read the advertisements, I read the movie reviews, I read the things about modern developments. I don't know a better shopping guide. And another thing, too, Playboy has proved in one of the articles that over 60% of the Playboys that are purchased by women for their mates or their husbands.
Okay, so you seem to be saying then that in addition to the men, there are some women who like to look at Playboy, not Playgirl.
Well, I don't know that. No, they buy them for their husbands. I know my wife a couple times has said, don't renew that. I'd like to renew that for you for a birthday present.
I see. Now, so that doesn't bother her at all then?
No, it shouldn't. Why should it? There was an article in Playboy one time where it showed models who resembled great, beautiful art. Now, I toured all of Italy, and I didn't see any statues of clothes on. And they showed all these girls posing in the same positions as Venus or what have you with the similar shapes. And I thought it was art. It was beautiful. And actually, these things are actually painted and put, there is the statue, the photograph, and the painting of it all in the book. And I thought it was a great work of art. But what I'm saying in a nutshell is, I believe you smoke, Wayne. If you don't want to portray personal information like that, I can understand it.
Why is that important?
Well, okay, let's say I say, that's wrong, you shouldn't do that. No, you should not go to the privacy of your home and light up a cigarette. You shouldn't do that, and I'm going to get all my friends
all right, okay, I hear what you're saying. Some of the women's groups are saying, look, we don't want this stuff on the shelves. We want to clean it up. We want to get it out. We want to pick it video, Red Hot Video out in...
I don't know where it is. I do know that there's one store I saw in Toronto which quite caught my eye. It was Exotic Waterbed and Bondage Company Limited. Now, I saw that sign on one of these flashing signs. I just about wiped out all of Queen's app. You said, what?
Jerry, got to go. Thank
you.
Very, very briefly, please.
I'll be brief. I think that there is no way, no government, no source, no movement is going to stop prostitution. There's no way it's going to stop pornography. Why don't we cash in on the taxes? And as long as it's not on the street where people can touch it, where people can see it, where kids can get their hands on it, and kids are not involved in it, I see nothing wrong. Let people have what the hell they want. They're only going to get it somehow if they can't get it legally.
Thank you for your call.
Bye.
433-3121 is the number. If you're out of town, you call us collect all over southwestern Ontario, wherever you are. Tell the operator it's a collect call that you would like to place here to 980 CFPL. Mark, you're next on 980. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hello, Wayne. Wayne, I was... One of the big misconceptions is that a number of women seem to think that girly magazines represent pornography. I mean, when we talk about girly magazines, we're talking about the ones we do generally see on the newsstands that feature various women exposed in various contortions and what you might call erotic or pornographic positions. But actually, pornography is... The reason women aren't interested is because there are no men and women doing anything that would interest them. In fact, the magazines exclusively appeal to men. The ironic part is that pornography is illegal. In other words, the sexual things that would interest women in films and magazines is banned. And that's why women aren't interested in them. If I may be so bold as to say, I have a number of these tapes myself. Some of them are very good and some of them are only average. Of course,
you know, what kind of tapes are they?
Well, we're talking about highly sexually explicit films. And now, without the violence and the bondage, because, you know, it's surprisingly, those things are extraordinarily rare anywhere, and most people aren't interested in them. And because I'm married, and certainly, you know, my wife and I, we're not interested in those. And that's the very odd point, is that these video cassettes are being viewed by couples.
But,
I know this because I've lent them to many couples, and the women like them.
But the cassettes, though, what would the police do if they found the cassettes?
In my home?
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's legal to own them yourself. I don't know. I'm probably confessing to a crime by saying I lend them to friends. I'm certainly not into the business of manufacturing making money.
Oh, yeah. No, I understand what you mean.
But I do believe it's still illegal to admit that I've lent them to people.
Okay, well, let's move away from that then. You know
It's important to acknowledge, though, that women like those. But the thing is, that's illegal, so women generally aren't exposed to them. And so when the people come on the air and say, listen, this does nothing for me, well, that's very understandable. Those magazines that are sold in the variety are oriented towards men, and until the law is relaxed, until we can have things that are being promoted for couples openly and for women, I don't mean openly so that children can see that, I just mean that you can go in and buy it privately from a video shop and take it home and watch it for the weekend and take it back. Women, unfortunately, are going to be left out in the cold on this.
Okay, but you know as well as I do that there have been a lot of raids of various stores in this community by the police. Now, I don't want to get into a great thing because I'm not sure if some of it isn't before the courts. But in general terms, the police are saying, look, these things, these video cassettes, are pornographic. You can't sell them. You can't have them. Oh. And yet Canada Customs is saying, as I understand it at least, they're not.
Oh, no. Actually, you can't bring them in over the border either. No, they're both consistent. Both of them are wrong.
Oh, okay.
Is that they're calling it pornography, and I still do not understand why consensual sexuality is still regarded in such horrified terms. Even I still wonder why when people see Playboy magazine or a beautiful woman on the front cover, why they get offended. What is it about sex that makes us so distraught, so upset? And then further, too, with certain feminists and groups, why is it that sex and money together, like prostitution is really sex and money, and Playboy magazine is sex and money? And I think, what is about the profit motive that people are really upset?
Well, I think what you got to try to do, though, too, and in fairness, is when the women's groups get upset and they pick it or whatever, I think what they're saying is that, take Playboy, for instance, or Hustler, they feel that these women are being exploited. They feel that that these women that appear in there are being stereotyped and that they are being abused and degraded and all the rest of it. That's their point.
I certainly have no argument that they're being stereotyped. You know, one of the things that a number of people want to deny is that these women, they say these women are being treated as sexual objects. Well, of course they are. The magazines are being bought for sexual purposes. These people aren't buying these magazines to have an intellectual conversation. They're buying them to get sexual gratification from them in more cases than not. And this is their only purpose. If they wanted an intellectual conversation, they'd pick up something else. So they get involved in women in another kind of sense. Remember, men do not read these magazines 24 hours a day. They're not totally consumed by these magazines. They do have normal conversations the rest of the day. They do meet people at work, and they do many other things, including watching movies, TV, reading newspapers, magazines, books, and you name it.
The other thing the women's groups feel that some of these magazines do is cause men to be aggressive and cause men to be violent against women in not only attitude, but in some cases, conduct.
Well, you know, Jules Feiffer, he's a writer. He had a very interesting phrase. He says, any work of art or any work that can incite me to violence is the work of a great writer. And, you know, he had a really interesting point. You know, what kind of thing is powerful enough to motivate one of us to go out and actually commit a crime? You know, I've really not read too many things or heard of many people that said, you know, or even were reported later on to a psychologist by having said, you know, this work was so incredible, this was such a talented work that I was motivated to go out and commit a crime or an act of whatever.
Mark, can you wrap it up briefly?
I just would like people to put things in perspective, that when men buy these magazines, it's simply one item in a long day. It's simply something they do in context with many other things. And that I'd like to say that if most of this sexually explicit material were available, women would be buying it and would enjoy it and would know exactly what's going on.
Thank you so much for your call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. 11 from 980 CFPL, and we have a headache doctor coming on tomorrow in the first hour. You'll have a chance to talk with Dr. Mullally from New Jersey, and he specializes in headaches, which is another topic, but that'll happen tomorrow in the first hour. Orthopedic dentist Jerry Wright will be with us this week on Thursday, so keep that in mind as well. In the meantime, we continue our discussion on pornography and this federal government committee that is going to look into this issue and ask men why they buy pornographic material. Now, they feel that the consumers are predominantly male. But are they wrong? Are they missing one of the points here, that maybe there are some women who enjoy it as well? And what is pornography? How do you define it? 433-3121. Let's go back to our calls. Bill, you're next on CFPL.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
I'd like to submit that your program and the fact that the federal government's getting involved by setting up that committee and other areas where it's the publicity, you're just falling into the trap of the people that distribute this porn.
No, I disagree with you, with respect, if I could.
Yes.
I think that one of the things we try to do here on this show is talk about the issues of the day. Now, this issue has been on our newscasts. It's been in every paper across the country. There are many women now listening who are very concerned about this issue of pornography. They really are. And I think we have an excellent opportunity in the format of a forum to discuss this, pros and cons.
Yeah, you're right there, but exactly what the distributors want. It's just like the cabbage patch doll phenomena. I mean, you give anything the right publicity, and you're going to get results.
Do you think that if we didn't talk about it, we would decrease the sales of Playboy and Hustler and Penthouse and these other magazines and decrease the sales of video cassettes that have explicitly sexual material in them?
Well, really I do, because there'd be a lot of people that out there that never hear about these things until they listen to a program like yours or read the paper with a...
Do you think people are that dumb, though, Bill?
I think they're dumber still with that cabbage patch. Like I say,
Well, we're not talking about the cabbage patch. We're talking about pornography.
That's the phenomena. If you advertise something in a particular way, you get it across to the public. Their curiosity is unbounded.
But they can go into a variety store, Bill, and they can see these magazines. Like, you don't need to hear it on the radio.
I don't have nothing against that. Free enterprise is my bag. I mean, if people want to buy that stuff, or my neighbor wants to show it, all well and good. Listen to it, I don't have to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you advertise a thing, and that's exactly what you're doing.
No, I'm not advertising anything. The government of Canada has set up a special committee, okay, to find out why they feel... The people that look at it primarily are men. That's what we're reacting to. That's what we're talking about.
I understand that, and that's what makes it absolutely wrong, the fact that the federal government, of all people that should be intelligent, would fall into that trap, because they're giving them a lot of advertisement, and that's what it needs to sell these products.
Well, I know what you're getting at, okay? I know what you mean. But they are seeing, in their minds, they're seeing an issue that is of a concern to a lot of people. Now, you can sit and say, oh, yeah, well, all they're trying to do is find an issue to get votes because the liberals want to get back in power and they're down in the polls. But they see an issue here, and they are trying to pass some laws, and we're going to get into this before the morning's over, to try and curb pornography or to license it.
Well, it'll only make it that much more available, and you know that. It's just like prohibition. If we had prohibition today, there'd be just as much booze around. The only difference is you'd be paying a higher price for it. But it'd be there. People are curious subjects. I mean,
that's true. Bill, thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much.
Bye-bye now. 12 next on CFPL.
Oh, yes, Wayne. I'll try and get over this as quickly as I can.
All righty.
You probably got a lot of calls.
Yeah, we got lots waiting, so go right ahead.
That's right. I think the payoff call this morning was the fellow that called and said it makes an excellent shopping guide. I don't know what the devil he's getting at there.
Okay.
Now then, the other thing is, I agree that some people can possibly handle this type of magazines, but there are many, many people that can't. And for the life of me, I can't see what good it does. In my opinion, it does an awful lot of harm.
You know, what kind of harm do you think it does?
Well, I think that these people that can't handle it, it creates violence, it creates them to go out and rape women and all this sort of thing.
Okay.
I think that's partly the cause of it. Now, that's my opinion.
Well, oh, sure, of course.
Right.
How many people are there, though, that would be, if it's true what you say, if it's true that this type of material causes or encourages people, if you will, to go out and rape and whatever, what is it that in there that does that, or is it something in that person's character?
Well, it's the natural for a man to have that drive. We know that. And, that's an understood, that's a fact.
Well,
but what percentage, I can't argue with that point.
Okay.
Right.
I mean, is it a lot of people, a few people?
I would think a lot of people, particularly younger people. When I say younger people, I mean people under 20 and so on.
Mm-hmm.
It's only natural at that point it's going to spur them on, and they're going to get satisfaction somewhere.
Well, Dick, if I could, I want to, because you hit a good point there, and I want to see what other opinion we can get on this question. How many people are affected adversely by certain girly magazines or video cassettes where there are sexually explicit scenes?
Well, I think it's very difficult to say that, really, but I believe the majority of them do pick these magazines up for that purpose. They get their kicks out of it, it causes a problem with them. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, but there's a difference between getting your kicks out of it and then turning around and going and doing violence.
Well, I think that, as I say, I got no figures to back this up,
sure.
But I feel that's the way it is.
Okay.
Now, the other thing is I wanted to say was that many of these paperback magazines are just as bad. There's so much smut in them that they should be taken off the market, too.
You know, are there any pictures in there?
No, there's no pictures.
Okay, so you want to censor the words.
That is correct. That's right.
Think about what you're saying here.
I think it puts down women, and I also think I don't know why they should go into so much smut in these various magazines.
Okay, but you want to censor the books.
Well, certainly. Certainly. If it doesn't do any good, why put it out? It has to do some good, or otherwise, what's the use of publishing it?
But is every book on the market doing good?
No. I wouldn't say that, but I think there should be some control over it.
So you want to say, you want to control literature?
Oh, certainly.
Didn't Hitler do that in Germany with...
Just a minute. He controlled it, yes, for his own good from the standpoint that there was a political end of it. That's what he controlled. You can't put an overall statement on that. But anyway, Wayne, there's something else I wanted to mention.
Well, can you be brief, sir? I've got a lot of people waiting.
Yes, I know.
Go ahead.
But a lot of people get the advantage when they're for it. And I want to just tell you something here. This is political. On Thursday, the paper said that the government was putting through legislation, criminal code amendment to stamp out pornography.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning, in the paper, it says here in McQuiggan, is considering licensing porn and prostitutes. And yet in the throne speech, it says we're going to stamp out pornography.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
This is it. Factory Carbon Sale of Sale.
The people who thought that I had seen Playboys when I was young and thought they were still the same. And well, I'm not centering out Playboy, but I had an 18-year-old boy boarding with me, and his family gave him these books all the time. And I told him many times to keep them in his bedroom, where you know, out of the way of my grandchildren.
Right.
And one night, I was here in the house alone, and I found two of them underneath the Chesterfield. And, have you seen Playboy when I was young? I thought, well, I'd just glance through it. And the first article that I read, and this is a very well-known magazine, the first article I read was about the wonderful sex life this cuss couple had, that they decided to initiate their two teenage boys into sex. And first of all, they let them watch them, and then gradually let them become a part of the party. And then finally, they thought they'd initiate their 13-year-old daughter. And just what a wonderful thing it was for the whole family to be so close and instructing.
Yeah, that's pretty sick.
And I thought, now this is a very well-known magazine.
Okay, were there pictures in there?
There were no pictures.
So it was literature.
But my 9-year-old granddaughter reads at a grade 12 level.
Uh-huh.
And certainly they could read the words. And if somebody were intending to use, like 1 in 10 families apparently, according to something I heard on your radio station recently, is...
Yes, that's right.
In it. And if somebody wanted to use children in this way, they just have to pull this article out for a child who could read well and say, look, it's all right. They even write about it in magazines.
All right, what do we do now? You see, you're hitting the nail on the head here. Here we have a book. I call it literature, but I don't mean that in a fine sense. You have a book. Okay, and in that book, they describe incest, right?
Okay,
now do you censor that book? Do you take that book and remove it from the shelves?
No, but I just want to tell you the second article involved a man who had his wife sit on the coffee table and deposit feces in his mouth.
Well, that's...
Jollies. But these were books that have been mentioned on your program. That people are saying, well, spruces up my sex life and this type of thing. I can't honestly see any positive thing that article would have done.
To me, that's perversion, all right? I'll say it right outright. But the issue, I think, is what do you do with it? Do you take that book and ban it?
Well, I don't know. perhaps it's an education process. I know banning books is very, very dangerous. But certainly some of these books don't serve any useful purpose whatsoever.
Unquestionably, in the cases that you describe.
And I just can see the danger in having them where some misguided person would put them in the hands of children. This boy was 18, and I just wondered what his relationships would be like with the girls that he went out with.
How did he get this stuff?
From his brother-in-law. And his brother-in-law constantly provided him with these.
And where did he get it?
I have no... Well, I imagine he bought them in the stores. They're sold in white wrappers, and lots of stores have them under the counter in white wrappers.
Hmm.
I heard the daughter of a variety store owner say that when the people come in and ask for these magazines, she's ashamed to hand them out, and she tells them that to come back when her dad is there.
You know, that's a tough situation, I bet, for a lot of people who work in variety stores, and I wouldn't mind... Maybe Jeff, if you're listening, maybe we could call somebody in a variety store and find out, how do you feel about selling this kind of stuff?
Well, she said she felt dirty if she even had to talk to the people, and she certainly wasn't going to hand them anything.
Thank you so much for your call.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 433-3121. There's a line available. If you're out of town, we invite you to call Collect. This is CFPL 980 AM Stereo in Southwestern FPL.
Good morning, Wayne. I'm a first-time caller.
Thank you.
I've got a day off today. It's Monday, and I hope you don't appear that I'm critical of your program, because I think it's very, very good.
Thank you.
But the subject matter is awfully tired.
Now, mm-hmm.
I don't know. I tuned in at about 20 to 11.
Right.
Prohibition banned booze back in the Prohibition area. by certain people that wanted to ban booze. Out of World Leaders' book, it's a book called World Leaders, Robert Hunt, who's a noted writer in the United States and the United Kingdom, it was a proven fact out of that 12 to 15-year-olds escalated phenomenally as far as alcoholism because booze was banned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have groups that want to ban smoking. We have groups that want to ban abortion. We have groups that want to ban prostitution. Indeed, we have people that wanted to ban snowmobiles in 1971, ban mobile homes in 1968, ban coffee in 1978, ban war toys in 1973, ban pyramid schemes in 1981, ban pornography, which is your subject today.
Yeah, you have a very good memory, and you're able to assimilate or at least associate all of these different things. So what I hear you saying is that some of us in this society are ban crazy.
Exactly. And they're trying to force their views on other people. Now, you've had a caller today, Bill, I believe his name was. He seemed to be very aware of the contents of this stuff. Leads me to believe he goes in and he reads it.
Don't know.
Pardon?
Don't know that, but that's your opinion then on that, eh?
Well, I'm sure. We can't disagree on that, Wayne, because the man told you how bad some books were. He wouldn't know unless he read them.
Well, now that's a good point, because what do you do? If you say in your heart, all right, I'm against abortion or I'm against smoking, as you're suggesting, how do you get to the position where you know that you're against something unless you either sample it or you observe it or you make notes on it kind of thing?
Let me answer that this way. You started, I think, your career in Owen Sound, and I worked for the radio station up there, too.
Were you up there in 63?
I was up there in 66, 67, and 68, and we all know Owen Sound was dry at the time.
Yeah, it was. I remember, yeah.
That was the wettest place I ever lived in my life.
Behind the scenes.
Because it was banned, right? And the media perpetrated this.
Well, the media did something bad again. What did we do?
The media promoted keep it dry. And what do? They drive everybody to drink. That's exactly what they're doing.
Now, how does the media drive people to drink, in your view?
Editorials in the Sun-Times, editorials by Stan Latham up there against booze. Do you remember Stan?
Well, yeah, but I don't want to get on here. Like, Stan was a very good man. Like, he was my first program director there, and he taught me a lot. Like, I don't want to get on and say, you know, because...
No, he was forcing his views, as did the editorial content of the Sun-Times, forced their views, certainly a lot different than the local paper here.
Yeah, okay, but the point is you didn't have to buy the paper and you didn't have to listen to the radio.
That's my point. I don't like pornography.
Mm-hmm.
I have read the most lewd junk from Denmark, Sweden, etc. I haven't read it, I've seen it.
Right.
We have nothing that even holds a candle to the stuff that goes out and goes into the United States,
mm-hmm.
local shelves. But we've got a local detective. Can I mention his name?
No.
Okay. And he's on a big crusade where I think his time should be better spent fighting known crime.
Mm-hmm.
Now, define pornography.
Well, that's one of the things we're trying to do, Bill.
These guys on the local police force are going in, cleaning out, and I'm not the variety store owner, so on and so forth.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Store.
Yeah, so you have no vested interest.
No interest whatsoever, but these guys are going in, raiding the stores, taking up court's time to have, and I say this a bit facetiously and without degrading judges, but we could have a dirty old man as a judge, couldn't we?
I guess so.
But the point
of all of this is that instead of raiding variety stores for video cassettes that people are going to watch in the privacy of their own home, that you feel the police should be spending their time at more constructive enterprises.
Fighting known crime. Robberies, muggings, burglaries, so on and so forth.
But from the police's point of view, though, is there a criminal element in the distribution of pornography?
Well, that's the same as me saying, officer, I was going 35 kilometers an hour, and he says I'm going 45. Who's to say?
But they from their point of view, must feel that the law is, as I understand it anyway, you can't sell or rent or buy material that is sexually explicit.
Okay, define sexually explicit.
Uh-huh, and they do have definitions for that, too, and I'm sure you're aware of that.
I'm not. Maybe that's maybe something good and constructive can come out of this call to your listeners and to me.
Well, that's one of the reasons we're trying to do it, yeah.
Define it. My contention here is there's a lot of things you and I and every human being in this world don't like.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Ignore it. Now, I'm not saying ignore it and it won't go away. I'm saying ignore it and it will probably die a natural death. I'm offended with certain variety stores that I go into, and I see this stuff prominently displayed, and I have voiced very strongly my objection.
Good for you.
And in each case, the material the next time I go in is moved upward, not taken out, but out of the sight of the younger kids,
mm-hmm.
who eventually, I'll tell you, are going to learn it.
And so it should be.
Okay. Now, I heard you instruct Jeff to call variety stores.
Well, we're going to try, but we'll see if we can.
Okay. And get the opinion of the people who are selling it. May I suggest, Wayne, these people aren't selling anything. People are buying this material. And that's their free choice. It is their, hopefully, that it is tastefully displayed out of sight of younger kids. But these people aren't selling anything in bookstores. People are buying it.
Okay, let's leave it there, and I want to get some more opinions on some of your points.
Fine, Wayne. Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Call us again another show, will you?
Merry Christmas.
Okay, bye-bye. Marcona Helen, who called us, and it was being charged to her home phone. Helen, if you'd like to call us back, I'd like to talk to you, Narcona. Simply tell the operator, if you would, please, to make a collect call, and we'll pay for it. And wherever you are in southwestern Ontario, you do the same thing. Tell the operator a collect call to 433-3121. Good morning. You're next on CFPL.
How are you?
I'm well.
You're wanting to know the definition for pornography.
One of the questions, yeah?
Yeah. Well, there's no definition for it.
Mm-hmm.
For some people.
Okay.
Unless you want one.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you personally define it then?
Well, I define it as anything that tears people down, their morals down, or degrades them. That's immoral, and therefore, it's pornography.
Okay. So that would be and I guess the question here, too, is morals. I guess everybody has different ones different ways of looking at it, I would imagine.
But, I mean, I hear that quite a lot. Everybody has ways. There are some things you don't have too much of a choice on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's morals.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And when you mention degrading... Do you mean the women who appear in these magazines are degrading themselves, or the people who read them?
Yeah, they are, and it's degrading to all those who. It's called entertainment. Isn't there good entertainment?
Well, we've had callers on this morning who have said that this entertainment that you say has been good for their marriage.
Do you believe it?
Well, I believe what the woman said.
Well, that's a borderline case, I'll tell you. I have doubts about it.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Yeah. We don't have trouble finding out what's garbage in our house. We throw it out every day, right?
Well, in your mind, you're associating it with garbage. Okay, that's fair. That's...
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Right on.
Bye-bye. Good morning, Arcona.
Yes.
This is Helen?
Helen Holmes.
Hello, Helen. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
All right. You're on. Go ahead, please.
Yes. I would just like to make a comment about the magazine and the pornography and all that blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
I think it's on the market. It's there to stay. And if the consumer cares to buy, then they will buy. I have seen the Hustler magazine.
Right.
I have a 21-year-old son which doesn't live at home anymore, and I have raised 5 children, and this has been going on for centuries. And I think if you want to buy it, it's there for you to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't care to buy it, then don't buy it.
Okay, but is there more to it, though, Helen, than just that? One of the things this committee talks about, in a paper I think they put out, this is the quote, "The psychological and emotional impact on the participants in both the short term and the long term at the moment is largely unknown." So when you...
Well,
this is the video cassette now, and I guess the people who pose for the magazines. What does it do to them, do you think?
I think... Now, I just hear in the radio, the video.
Yeah, would you turn your radio off, please, Helen?
Well, I'm in the living room, and the radio's...
Okay, because it's going to cause confusion. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a chance to go and do that, okay?
Well, no, I can talk to you as it is. But the thing is that I feel... For the younger person, I'm an elderly lady of 55.
Mm-hmm.
And this doesn't do one damn thing for me. I've been a widow for 18 years.
Right.
But for the younger ones coming up, I think that is a great,
You know, Helen, I'll tell you what I'm going to have to ask you to do. I'm going to put you on hold, okay? Now, while you...
Again...
I would like you to go and turn your radio off because it's confusing you,
well,
okay? And I think you've got a point to make, and I want to hear your point.
You just hang on right there.
Okay. That's good. You go ahead and do that now. 17 minutes after 11. Let me mention to you, coming up on the 22nd of this month, we're going to be presenting our 4th annual Christmas call. And what we'd like you to do is send your postcard in with your name and home telephone number and the... telephone number of the person that you would like to speak with, include the name as well and the area code, anywhere in the world. And so you put that on the postcard, send it along to us, to the Wayne McLean Talk Show, CFPL Radio Box 980 in London, and if we pick your card on Thursday morning, December 22nd, we'll call you, and then we'll link you up, and you can speak to that person wherever he or she may be, anywhere in the world. So do that. The address again, Wayne McLean Talk Show, Box 980 CFPL in London. Now, Helen, you're back in and you're all set. Go ahead.
Yes, I've turned the radio off.
Good. A lot better, isn't it?
Not necessarily. But anyway, my point of view is, if you want it, it's out there. And if you don't want it, it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do believe... that the younger children, I would say from, and it's getting younger every year, that it is really a magazine. I will have to go back to the Hustler magazine because that's the only one I have ever seen.
Right.
And I think it's really degrading. But it is for sale and is to make money. And... if you want it, you can buy it. If you don't want to buy it, then you don't have to.
Okay.
But when you have younger children, they're going to get it one way or another. With my oldest son, which is 35 years old.
Yes.
It was a true story at that time. I mean, that's a long time ago.
Okay, but what happened to him, though, Helen?
A marvelous boy.
Yeah, but what happened to him with the magazines?
He hid it under his mattress so his mother couldn't find it. But I... was it stimulation? I think.
Mm-hmm. To him, yes.
To him. To me, it was... I suppose maybe in my day I had done the same darn thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it is not wrong. Perhaps I'm... I don't want to promote this. But I think that knowing the children year from the 40s to the 70s and to the 80s, it has become so open.
That's right, yeah. When you found it, were you hurt?
I was disillusioned.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, Tommy, why did you do this? And yet I knew that it was there, But I didn't want to see it there.
I see.
And this is the way I felt.
Thank you for sharing it with us. I'm sure it helped some people this morning.
Well, as a mother of five, and went through all the stages, I had three girls and two boys, and I found that the boys were more prone to buy these magazines.
Okay, thank you, Helen. I appreciate your call.
And I'm pleased to speak with you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
19 minutes after 11 here at CFPL, 433-3121. Christmas is...
at this pornography business from a different angle. The pictures that degrade the women. Now, if all those, the pictures of the women were black or Chinese or Japanese, they'd be rushing to the Ontario Human Rights. But because they're most all white, most the ones I've seen, I waited to get my hair cut, and they've had them there, and I leafed through them. I feel that they do degrade women because they're white. Nothing's done about it, and the women aren't putting up a pick.
Well, the women, some women are. But the point I wonder here is this. How are you going to stop it if you want to stop it? We're going to pass laws, don't sell this magazine, don't sell that, watch out for this video cassette. Are we going to shut the stores down that sell it? Or is the answer to say, if you participate in a pornographic movie or a pornographic magazine, whatever on earth pornographic is, if you are going to participate in that, then you're going to go to jail for 10 years.
Well, I feel myself that it is hate literature against women, and especially white women, and they and the poses. A woman's body looks nicer with nightgowns on, you know. They look more glamorous than these silly old poses. It's the same old thing. And I think they set up these committees, and the people that work on them get $200 or $300 a day, don't they?
Oh, you mean the government committee?
Yeah.
Well, what do you think of the committee? They feel that men are the primary consumers of this stuff. Do you think they're right in that view?
Oh, probably. But, I mean, I'm not against... but I think that if they have a law, they're going to pass a law against hate literature. Well, I think a lot of these... pictures of the women in the magazines. It is a form of hate literature.
Okay, thank you for making the point.
Thank you very much, Wayne.
Bye-bye. Good morning, Wayne McLean. You're on CFPL.
Good morning, Wayne.
Hi.
I've got a rule of thumb that I use and that anybody can use to decide whether it's porn or not.
What's that?
It's out of the Bible. Philippians 4, verse 8. Fill your minds with things that are good, that deserve praise, things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and honorable. That's my rule of thumb.
But the Bible in places is pretty racy. You read the Song of Solomon, and you'll find some pretty sexy stuff, I think.
Oh, yeah, but then there's no pictures.
Touché.
Yeah, like if you're reading the Bible, and my husband has read Song of Solomon, he pictures me. He doesn't picture Lord knows who. I hope he does. Another point, I used to work in a store where one of the sidelines, one of the things we sold was records, and another thing we had was renting movies.
Mm-hmm.
The movies that were the most popular and that rented the most were what they call soft porn. Now, to me, porn is...
Baby blue, you mean?
Baby blue. I don't care. Pink, blue, whatever.
Whatever, yeah.
Porn is porn. I don't care, you know.
You don't make any distinctions, then, between soft and hard, baby blue...
No, it's all porn.
Okay.
As far as I was there. And anyways...
So you see it as black and white.
Mm-hmm. And it was amazing how many women would be in there with their husbands picking out dirty movies.
Okay.
And some of them, sometimes the boss had a movie. I would not have it playing in a public place, but he did. And I'd say, you kids see this. Oh, you know, nobody cares. And I'd see, you know, kids in there with their parents, and their parents were renting this type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here's a 10-year-old looking at, you know, people in bed or whatever. Good grief. Also, we sold records. You know, like just your top-of-the-chart records. You'd be surprised how many of those records that are on the charts that are popular, the LPs, are filthy.
Okay, now, by the word filthy, what exactly are you getting at there, caller?
They'd have songs to do with sex that were highly explicit.
Mm-hmm.
Violent, you know, promoting things like kill the teacher and all kinds of stuff. And you'd get, like, I worked behind the counter, and I'd have to sell these records to 13, 14-year-old kids. And my boss wanted me to, you know, to keep the record being stocked, so I'd have to make up the orders.
Well, one of the calls...
I was censoring them.
You were censoring the records for the people that wanted to buy them?
Well, what I would do is if, okay, say a certain record that had come in, we got new ones every month, the newest ones that were hits. Okay, say one by...
Okay, I want to tell you this, if I could. Can you hang on, because I am really interested in what you're getting into here about these records, and I am really fascinated by the censoring of these that you did sort of self-appointedly. And could I pursue it with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, and I'll be right back with you. This is an interesting comment that our caller's making, and we'll pick it up when we return. Okay, we're back in with our caller. We are attempting at this moment to reach the Justice Minister, the Honorable Mark McGuigan. Jeff's on the phone now to Ottawa, and we had called Mr. McGuigan's office on Friday when we were thinking of doing the program, and they were cooperating and trying to set up a meeting on the phone, and we're working on that now, so that may become available. We're going to continue to try, so hang on, and hopefully it'll happen. Okay, but there is the chance it might not as well, so we want you to stay with us. Now, we're talking to our caller. You were in the record store,
yeah.
And the thing that struck me, if I could for just a second, you were saying you were selling the records. Well, I don't think you were selling them, okay? I think you were responding to what had already been sold to these people.
Yeah, so what I was...
So you set up yourself as a censor, and what did you do?
Well, what I did was, okay, that every month we'd get another batch of the hit records, eh?
Right.
And say one... was sold and I knew it was trash, I simply wouldn't order it again unless somebody came in and said, hey, I want such and such a record by so-and-so.
Okay.
Then I'd order it for them. But I would not, I'd order other music, you know, what from what I knew that was, you know, a better quality, if I could use that term, for want of a better one, to put in its place. Then my boss said, no, you can't do that. If the people want to buy porn, let them buy porn. You have to order it.
So the boss wasn't too happy?
No.
Okay, now you can...
If you want to order this crap in, you go ahead. I'm not going to. It goes against my conscience, my Christian background, and that. I just cannot handle and order this stuff, knowing that kids from, you know, in baby buggies, the little strollers brought into the store on up, are going to be seeing this stuff blatantly displayed.
But when you have your feelings and your feelings are strong, and I respect your view, did you stop to consider at the time that if there were 100 records released a week and maybe one of them or two of them were, as you say, trash, all right, what about the other 98 that were wholesome?
Well, those I'd keep reordering them if they were sold, but the ones that I knew from knowing the songs, from having heard them on the radio, that they were, you know, pretty, you know, crummy, eh? Mildly. You know, ones that were advocating things like kill the teacher and oh, I...
Mm-hmm, sure. But of those, were they in the minority, do you think, or were they...
Fortunately, they took up, some months, they took up half or more.
Mm-hmm.
It was really sad.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the most popular ones, singles, were some of the most filthy things. I couldn't understand how...
In your view.
Yeah. How a 14-year-old girl would want to listen to something like that. And I thought, where the hell are your parents? I even said to one girl, does your mother know you listen to this kind of stuff?
And she probably looked at you and said, what are you talking about?
Yep.
You see, the kids in many cases don't listen to the lyrics that much.
And that's terrible, because... if they only listened to them, they'd know what filth they were listening to. And it's a fact that on many of these records put up by some of the most popular rock and roll groups, like Rolling Stones and that, they deliberately sing in such a way that you can't make out what they say, because they get you subliminally. You know, the subliminal suggestions go into your mind.
Mm. Do you censor the records that your own kids listen to?
My kids are like 7 years of age and under. So they're not into...
But what are you going to do, though, when they get to be 11 and...
The same as my mother did.
What's that?
My mother told my brother, he had some pretty awful records. She says, if I ever hear that thing playing in my house, I'm going to smash it.
So you'll be smashing records?
Yep. She smashed a few on him. Okay. She caught him a kind.
What kind of reaction do you think you'll get from your kids when you do that, though?
They'll respect it. Because you have to set guidelines for your kids.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make sure they stay to them. You just can't say, oh, that's bad, don't do that.
Right.
You got to make sure they do it. Once they're grown up and away from home, they're out of your hands. But you know what it says in the Bible, eh? Train your children in the way they should go.
Mm.
When they're old, they'll not depart from it.
Thank you for your call this morning. A fascinating discussion.
Yep, thank you.
Bye-bye. When we come back, we have on our live line from Ottawa the Honorable Mark McGuigan, Canada's Justice Minister, and we'll be speaking to him for a few moments about this particular committee and some of the things that he has to deal with from his standpoint as the Justice Minister. So you stay tuned for that, Mark McGuigan, when we return.
5716, Welcome Wagon, a neighborhood tradition since 1930.
On our live line now from his office in Ottawa, the Honorable Mark McGuigan, Canada's Justice Minister and also Member of Parliament for Windsor-Walkerville. Good morning, Mr. McGuigan.
Good morning, Wayne.
I know that you're in between meetings and you're in a hurry, so if we could get to some of the issues here. As you know, there is this committee set up to look into pornography, and of course there are other things as well. What is the committee trying to find out?
Well, let me explain that when I announced the setting up of a committee last June, I also announced that certain major changes in the law would be made even before the committee reported with respect to pornography, and certain lesser changes with respect to street soliciting. And then I set up the committee to look at other aspects of the problem. The committee will be reporting sometime in 1984, and, well, they'll really be looking at the whole field in both cases.
What is the law now, Mr. McGuigan, on pornographic material? Are there definitions that are specific?
Yes, pornography is very briefly the undue exploitation of sex or of sex linked with certain other elements such as violence, cruelty, crime, or horror. Now what I'm proposing to do in my amendments, which as I say are very major amendments, is to sever the requirement that pornography consists in some form or other of the undue exploitation of sex. That's missing a lot of the materials that are coming out now, which have been stressing cruelty and violence. And so I'm providing for a new definition, which would be the undue exploitation of sex or of crime or of horror or of cruelty or of violence.
Now, does that mean if we went to see a picture like Amityville or Halloween Part 3, where they are presenting horrible, gruesome, graphic scenes, that would be illegal?
Well, I haven't seen those films, and so I can't really say. It would be for a court to decide in any given case where a charge is laid. But the possibility arises, yes. It wouldn't be the person who goes who would be in difficulty. It would be the person who was producing the film.
One of the things in the paper that we discussed earlier on the program are the three options regarding pornography: banning it completely, making it legal, but subjecting it to licensing and zoning controls, as you know, or freeing it of the law altogether. Are those valid options in your mind?
No, they're not. In the view of the government, pornography is far too serious in its social consequences to be treated that way. The fact is that there is strong evidence to suggest that indulging considerably in pornography increases the likelihood that people will perform antisocial acts. And from aggravated sexual assault on down through lesser crimes, and sometimes, of course, this even results in murder. So this is far too serious to play around with.
But there are many people, surely, who witness pornography, and it has no effect on them at all.
Yes, I'm sure that's true. But we have to be concerned also about the weaker members of society, and it may be that people who have more of an inclination that way, subjected to a considerable diet of this, even at their own choice, may end up by engaging in such acts in the rooms of many people who have engaged in killings, for instance, in sex killings. They've found a great deal of pornography.
Just one last point, Mr. McGuigan, and I'll let you go because I know you have other things to tend to. Some of our callers this morning on this issue have mentioned, well, look, if we license or don't license or do whatever, is there not something to be said for saying to the participants, the people who are photographed, the people who take part in these video cassettes where explicit sexual activity takes place, If we say to them, if you do this, that you will face severe consequences, would that be a possibility?
Well, I think it's more realistic to get at the people who are distributing it, if that's what you're asking about. But if you're saying just to appeal on an educational basis to the people who might be indulging, I don't think that would be satisfactory at all. No.
Thank you very much, Mr. McGuigan. I appreciate your time today.
Okay, Wayne. Glad to talk to you.
Bye bye now. Speaking to us from his office in Ottawa on our live line, the Justice Minister, Mark McGuigan. Interesting point. He says the weaker people, there are some people, he says, who see this material, and they, as a result of seeing this material, will go out and engage in anti-social activity, as he says. And my point was, well, there may be a lot of people who witness this material and it does nothing. And his point back was, well, you have to protect, we have to act for the weaker members of society. So therefore, the people that are interested in this stuff who would not go out and rape or do whatever are, in a way, some people would say, going to be punished. How do you feel about that? Do you see it that way? 433-3121. Maybe you see it an entirely different way. What we have at this moment are a number of lines available, and if you tried to reach us earlier, we have 20 minutes left in our show this morning, and if you call back right now, you should be able to get through, but do call me now.
That's the Kate Young Show with me, Ann Robel, today, 12:45 to 2 p.m.
Brenda, you're next on CFPL.
Okay, thank you. I'm just wondering, what is your definition of pornography? What?
I don't know whether I have one or not, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Okay, what is your definition of it?
My definition? I think it's up to the individual. I think it's up to the household. If the husband and wife both would like to buy books and video cassettes and what have you, and I think that's up to them in the privacy of their own home.
Okay.
And
so it's in the mind of the beholder, then.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I have been, as pornography, I've been watching it and reading about it for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
Since I've been married. And now, the Joy of Sex, like book one and two, is that a how-to book or is that a pornography book?
All right.
Now, what would you call that?
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen The Joy of Sex, so I can't.
It's been out for years.
I'm sorry.
You know, it's been out for years.
What would you think? Is it a little bit of both or not?
I think, well, as far as I'm concerned, I think it's a how-to book.
Okay.
How to, you know, get along with your mate sexually. And do it properly.
Uh-huh.
But in Scandinavia, apparently it's legal.
What, doing it properly or how to get along with your mate? Or the book?
What are you talking about?
What is legal, the book?
What, Joyous Sex?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Okay, but it's illegal in Canada.
It's legal. It's sold everywhere.
Okay.
In every bookstore, it's sold everywhere.
Okay, so it's legal in Canada as well, or at least it's sold. That doesn't necessarily make it legal.
Well, if it's not legal, then why don't they take it off the counter?
Well, as you probably know, this has been happening.
I know that, yeah.
You know, where some of these magazines and or video cassettes have been seized, and the police go through them and check them out.
Well, I think it's, I really enjoy it. My husband and I both enjoy, looking at these books, and I think it should be legal.
Okay.
So
you would like to see the porn shops licensed and controlled?
Yes, controlled. That is one thing, controlled.
Okay. Thank you very much for your call.
Well, I'm not done yet.
Okay, can you wrap up, please?
Yeah, in Scandinavia, it is legal. Pornography is legal.
Yes, okay, I understand now.
One other thing here.
Okay, I'm going to have to run.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye. Good morning, John. Thank you for waiting. You're on CFPL.
Okay, thank you. I'd just like to agree, first of all, with that lady you had on before. Her first point, what gives the government the right to think that they know what's best for the people, best for us? We should be able to make our own decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And as she was saying, in Scandinavian and in Copenhagen too, I know, they have a special red light district. And if you walk down there, there's not millions of people swarming in and out. They're not overly thrilled by this stuff. So once people have access to it, after a while they become tired of it. It's not such a thrill anymore because it's not government controlled and restricted. And if the government did cut it back, the only access would be through the black market, underground activities, and people would want it even more because it would be illegal. So by restricting and controlling it, you just increase the thrill of it for people and make them want it more.
Mm-hmm. What did you think about what McGuigan had to say?
Yeah, with McGuigan, how he was saying how the print and television and video pornography increases people's desires to go out and commit crimes and degrades society.
Mm-hmm.
Before print and TV was only invented in the past 50 years, there were still examples of rape and corruption and murders in society before pornography through print and television. So I feel the advent of pornography through videos and TV has very little to do with what's happening in society.
But has the advent of these things, though, increased it? I mean, you're saying that it's that's always happened, right?
Right.
Now, has it increased it, or are people more and more open about it and are willing to talk about it?
I don't think it's really increased it. You can go as far as the Roman and Greek times,
mm-hmm.
and there you have the most corruption, the most...
And Caligula and people like that, yeah.
One of the most decadent societies of all times.
Mm-hmm.
They hardly had print or video pornography at any extent back then.
Okay, so then part of the human condition, you know, not all of the human condition, but part of the human condition involves this business of perversion, of people who want to rape people, people who want to inflict harm on people. And it's really got nothing whatsoever to do, you're saying, I think, with the media or with porn shops.
There's always going to be some aspect of society which is perverted, and there's always going to be, that's just human nature, that some people are like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that pornography that much increases it, to a very limited extent, possibly to some really warped minds it may increase their desire to go out and perform certain acts.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But on the whole, I don't think the media or video or television has increased that much or has that much effect upon society.
Thank you very much, John. Well thought out. Appreciate your comments.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. 13 Bye. Before 12. Good call. I have to give him on a scale of 1 to 10, maybe as 8. Well thought out. Interesting point. How about you this morning? 433-3121. There's
door. Charlie, 14-gram cologne spray, now $5.49 at your neighborhood Big V drugstore.
Good morning, Bob. You're next on CFPL.
Good morning, Wayne.
Hi.
Wayne, I was listening this morning to the comments made by Mark McGuigan, who actually illustrated the point that I'd like to call in about today. When you asked him about what the government was planning on doing about pornography, one of the first things he said to you, and he said it rather without being ashamed of himself or embarrassed, he said that he's going to provide a new definition of the word obscenity,
mm-hmm.
To include other things. Now, what does that tell you right away? When somebody sits back and says, well, I'm going to supply a certain definition, the government will define what obscenity is.
Mm-hmm.
It makes the prospect of getting a fair trial in the sense of ever being charged under any legal ramifications, it makes the prospect of defending oneself literally impossible.
Not necessarily, because if you listen carefully enough, he was saying undue exploitation. And then I asked him about the court, you know, how are you going to enforce this thing? Well, it's going to go to the courts. So the courts are going to decide. The law as such is passed by the lawmaker or the parliamentarian. The courts are going to decide what is undue exploitation.
Well, what he's cleverly done is avoided his responsibility in deciding that for himself and put the poor courts in the decision of having to make a literally an impossible decision. You know, I bet you most people are not aware of what Section 159 in the Criminal Code says. It is regular indulgence and subjectivism. Let me tell you, they had to make up every single definition in that section to suit what, when you finally get through the whole maze of definition, to suit strictly one person's point of view and one person's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the law says that everyone commits an offense who makes, prints, publishes, distributes, circulates, or has in his possession for those purposes any obscene written matter, picture, model, phonograph record, or other thing whatsoever. Now, of course, it didn't define the word obscene.
Mm-hmm.
But not wanting to be left, leave that gap there, of course, they have in subsection 8, I have this in front of me right now.
But the reason they're not defining the word obscene is that because when you objectively get into the courts, it to me, the court is going to do the defining. That is the law, not the law, but that to me is the function of the court, that they will take this subjective law that you say, okay, that's passed by, as you say, our subjective politicians, and they bring it into the realm of objectivity.
Well,
and so,
hang on a second.
So here's the judge, and he hears the evidence, and you've got the defense attorney, and you've got the Crown attorney, and the judge is the one. That's our system. That's the beauty of our system. It's the judge that's doing that.
Now,
the judge may not always be right.
What evidence could he possibly present in court except a magazine or a publication in question, and what it comes down to is his opinion versus the other opinion.
But then who do you want to be the judge then, I guess, is the question.
Well, the individual, of course. But, you have to look at the laws for what they are and what they can lead to. You know, when they say that obscenity is something or any publication of which the dominant characteristic of which is undue exploitation of sex or of sex and violence, etc., they leave undue undefined, they leave exploitation undefined, they leave
The reason, you see, but you want everything defined and pigeonholed, and you have to give latitude, it seems to me, in these laws so that the courts can take the undefined things that you're talking about and say, okay, here is the story.
Well, sure, the court can say the definition of this is this, because I feel this way today. Do you remember the situation at Saskatoon's Tavern where one judge overturned the owner's acquittal? On a previous charge, a person had been drawn into court twice. The state prosecuted him twice. And the issue there was that the first judge assumed, well, he was going to let the owner of Saskatoon's go. It was regarding a strip.
Yeah, okay, well, I don't want to get into specifics because I'm not entirely sure. Go ahead, finish your point.
Anyways, the first judge acquitted him, saying that such a performance did not harm anyone in the community, let us say.
Mm-hmm.
The second judge in the decision there said harm is not an issue, and simply said that because the act appealed to sexual titillation, therefore it was undue exploitation. Now, my goodness, what does that open up?
Yeah, but you see, the point is that I think if I hear what you're saying is that you disagree with that. And, you know, we've spoken many times on this program over the years, and I enjoy your calls. But
don't I have the right to disagree?
Well, of course.
Isn't that what this country is all about?
Of course, but don't jump to conclusions here. Have you ever thought about going to law school?
Wayne, I've thought about going to law school. You're presenting me with a complete new career in my life. I've already... My career is rather in a different vein. But, you know, it's a funny thing. Here we have courts telling us that they're going to test, you know, the undue exploitation of sex. A test of that is according to community standards. And yet the government is sitting there controlling those community standards left, right, and center.
Now, do you...
You can objectively decide what the community standards are.
Yeah, okay.
If they went by community standards, they look at the sales of these things. They, you know, they're the ones keep saying, oh, it's a billion, multi-billion dollar industry. Well, if that isn't objective evidence as to what the community standard is, I don't know what possibly could be.
Well, it's a $10 million a year business in Canada, according to this report. Bob, it's always a pleasure.
Okay, Wayne.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
CFPL, go ahead, please.
Hi, this is just a quick call.
Okay, Dee.
Go on, Laura, get in the bathroom. Can't talk to you with my niece standing here. I want to be explicit, but not too explicit for the air.
Okay.
How widespread pornography is these days? You know, and I, for one, do not accept it. I think it's ugly. But anyway, I read of an article where, you know, these clinics where test tube babies are formed or started?
Well, I've heard of them, yes, the Steptoe Clinic and that sort of thing, right? We have them here in London, or at least in Toronto, yeah.
I read that an accepted way of bringing the man on to get the seed is to let him read a pornographic book. And I think that, combined with the lovely, godly act of birth, is just horrendous. I just think it's awful.
Okay, now where did you read this?
I don't know. I read it a few weeks ago, and I'm afraid I was so upset by it. And my sister's sitting here. She just dropped in the door and said she read it too.
Okay, I just wonder if it might not be an idea, and we can't do it on this show, to contact a doctor and find out if that is really true.
Well, it was a very legitimate source that it came from at the time.
I'm not questioning the source, but I just wonder if it's true in all cases.
Oh, not all cases, no. It was just that this clinic thought it was a good idea that would get the man stimulated.
Okay. So you have somebody's opinion.
Yeah.
But you can't, I don't think, throw the baby out with the bath and say...
Oh, no idea of that, but I just think that the lovely act of bringing a baby into the world, like the lovely baby, the birth, it's combined with something as awful as I think it is, pornography,
mm-hmm.
it's a terrible thing to combine the two.
Mm-hmm.
To cause a birth with pornography or to help it along.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, interesting point of view. Hadn't thought about it quite that way, but certainly your idea is well taken, and maybe we can do that on a future show and find out how extensive this is.
All right.
Thank you very much, Dee and Forrest. I hope you'll call us again.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Unfortunately, for those on hold, we've run the clock down, but we thank you for your patience and for everybody who participated this morning, and certainly you who have listened to our discussion. Tomorrow morning, we will have a doctor on talking about headaches. This is